are from different places, we all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hey guys. How you doing?
Hey.
I'm good. How are
you? What's happening? It was raining today.
It was.
I don't feel like it needs to rain in the desert, you know.
I'm fine with it.
It's like always dry, and when it's wet suddenly, it's completely surprising.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I think it should be allowed. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's like such a surprise that I forgot what it was like to even be in rain. That's how, like, so uncommon it is for it to rain in the desert.
In Southern California?
In Southern California, yep. Especially the Antelope Valley.
Yeah.
I hope people remembered to turn their sprinklers off today.
We are in a drought. Oh wait, it rained today. So
right. So they could have like a flooded operation happening on
That's
their lawn.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I was thinking today when I was at work, there's gutters everywhere, you know. And I was thinking if it wasn't for rain, there would be no gutters. There wouldn't be curbs. And little areas where water goes down, and I guess they call that the sewer. Yep. If it wasn't for rain, then
unless you're in a bowling alley, Tim, then there are gutters and there's water and there's curbs somewhere.
True. There's curbs. There's both probably.
Curbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's going on with you guys? Tim, Jessica, Tim.
Yeah, Tim, what's this past week? So, like, past couple
so,
weeks?
So it's been very interesting. I think there's been like a major highlight ultimately for me. And Beth would know about this because she's the one who introduced me to it.
A year
so
ago.
Over the last, really?
Yeah, it was like a year ago.
Oh gosh, that's crazy. So we can jump into the discussion part, but I just want to mention that Beth told me a year ago, apparently, about this app called the Finch app. It's like a self-care app. And I was talking to her, I think, like sometime in the last 2 weeks about something. I think it was during Messy Church, actually. And it suddenly became very, like, just overall attractive idea for me to actually put my full effort into trying the Finch app, not just like idly trying the Finch app, like you just like randomly look at a YouTube video or something like that and then decide not to watch it. No, this time I went in full throttle, so to speak, like you were going to watch a full YouTube video. And I tried out the Finch app and it's honestly made a huge difference in my life. Like, It's an amazing app for self-care, and it helps you manage your goals. And it's a game, so you actually find yourself interested in using it on a consistent basis. And it's got other features like reflections, like it encourages you to reflect on things, and you can like save what your mood is at a particular time. And it just has so many features. And the thing that I like the most about it is like it's not a to-do list app, but it's like a goal management app, and it has so many different settings for your goals. And you feel really encouraged to put all of your goals in there, because what happens is all your goals give your Finch energy, and then your Finch can go on adventures after your Finch receives enough energy. And then after like 7 hours or so, your Finch is on an adventure, and it kind of encourages you to complete your goals more so, because each goal that you complete in that 7-hour period subtracts time from the 7 hours. And so then your Finch is going to come back sooner from his or her adventure. And so it's super neat. And I also like that it's gender inclusive. So it has it's not only he and she, but it also has they for pronouns. You can assign pronouns. So that's really neat. And you can also like change your Finch's like dye, like the color of their fur, so to speak. And it's not like if you make a decision in the very beginning, once you use the app for 7 days, you can like change like the way that your Finch looks like in every way, not only outfits, but also like if you didn't want pink, you can go with blue or something like that. So, yeah, I like that, like inclusivity. And I really recognize and appreciate when you have inclusivity in games and self-care things now, because not only this, but I've been playing this game. I think I mentioned it on the podcast called RuneScape. I've been playing that with my brother recently. And in RuneScape, they actually introduced diversity and inclusivity update in 2002. Where like basically like gender inclusivity is a huge thing. And so at, like any time that an app or something like that will introduce like aspects like that into it, it makes me kind of feel like, okay, this is an app for everyone and like no gatekeeping. And so that's really nice. But anyways, so it's really amazing. How useful this app is for me, like not only the goal management, but it gives me something to look forward to every day. Cause it's like, oh, look at my goals that I have to complete in real life. And so like I'm taking care of my Finch while I'm taking care of myself. That's what it says on the website. Take care of your Finch by taking care of yourself. And so it's really neat all in all. There's a plus version of the app, but then there's also a free version. And they give you a really big discount if you decide to subscribe to the plus after 7 days. And so I decided to because like this app has just been super useful for me. But all the core features of the app are available for people who don't pay for the plus. You just get like extra outfits and like quality of life kind of like things. But the goal management, reflections, like all the self-care stuff is in the app in the free version. So it's available for anybody, whether you just want to use the free version or the plus version. It's got those inclusivity things to it. It's got self-care. Like it's honestly been life-changing. It's great for mental health. Especially for people who have ADHD and like anxiety and depression and just like that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's my big update. I was going to share some other stuff, but this ended up taking up my whole update time. So, but it was important enough for that to be the case. So I'm happy to share it. Honestly,
it's a really good update, Tim.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So. So, yeah.
If any of you want to try the app out and are looking for friends, just hit up Tim or me and we'll.
Yeah.
Friend.
You could even send us an email our Gmail account.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that Methodist to the Madness at gmail.com?
Yeah. It's super.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the subject line, just put FF.
FF.
For Finch.
Yeah. Finch friends. Yeah, there you go.
Or can we make it Methodists who are mad but also want Finch friends if we want it to be long?
That would
use that acronym. What would that be?
I forgot what I said.
W
A M W W T B F F
W W J D. What would Jessica do?
Yeah, there you go. I like that. WWBD, what would Beth do? And WWTD.
I know what Jessica would do. She'd go to sleep.
Maybe.
No. That's a lot better than what was it? The one for what was it, DNR?
Yeah.
For sure. I like WWJD or TD or BD better. But oh, by the way, one other thing, if you have Finch friends, then you can send good vibes to your Finch friends. And so you could be like sending them encouragement or like hugs or like just saying hi or flowers or whatever.
Don't forget to hydrate. That's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't forget to hydrate. Drink water. Yeah.
Cool. Drink some water, guys.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, and you can also encourage each other to do the same goal. So you can like give an invitation for somebody to do the same goal as you. So then you're kind of tracking each other's progress and then giving each other encouragement. So it's pretty neat.
Nice. Yeah. Beth, how's this past week been for you? How's your Finch doing?
I wanted to talk more about how my Finch is doing.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't know. It's been kind of a weird, not weird, but like, I don't know. I've just been like feeling blah these last couple of weeks. And I think part of it has to do with like, Owen's been going to all of these different doctor's appointments to try to figure out like what's going on with him. He had an MRI on Tuesday, and then I probably shouldn't talk about this, but I'll let him get mad at me later.
He just had some health stuff that he's trying to figure out, and he had a lot of machines on him.
Well, he got the results and then came home at midnight and told us the results, which what he told us was inaccurate because he hadn't had a doctor go over the results yet. So basically,
he go to Google for it?
A little bit, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but probably correct.
Yeah, answer all around. But no, it was just like he was like, yeah, this is, I got my MRI results and blah blah blah, and then like he came home at like midnight and was just telling me all this, and I was half asleep on the couch because that's what I do at night. I just watch TV and nod off on the couch, and
I think I do that too.
Yeah. So he's just telling us all this heavy stuff and I'm like trying to comprehend it. And then and I think it's not life threatening, but I think it's just made me like sad the whole week.
Yeah.
And he came home and like told us like, okay, first of all, I'm fine, but blah, blah, blah. And then like the next day he was like, okay, scratch what I just said. I misread my result.
He gets to keep all of his limbs.
There are no organ transplants needed.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's going to be okay. And he's got follow-up appointments. But
yeah,
it was just like, that's a lot of information.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, I think he'll figure it out. And I'm also not the person who's like in charge of his his health stuff anymore.
Yeah. So,
like part of me just feels like I'm just on the sidelines of this whole thing. And I kind of am, and that's where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
You know, it's just different.
It's just like a new chapter of how to navigate this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be like taking a toll in a lot of different ways, but I think you're doing really well, Beth. I think you're handling it really well and you're doing the best that you can, just kind of what you're sharing. So,
yeah.
Right.
You would totally get a sticker if if I were with you.
But it's really put a damper on my productivity And it's like, and maybe this is just who I am as a person. I think it's starting to feel like this is just who I am as a person. It's like, I'll have like a couple really good weeks of productivity and I'm like, I'm going to do my laundry 2 days a week and do 3 loads every time I do my laundry. And then like, I'll do that for a couple of weeks. And then like the next couple of weeks are a little rocky. And I do think that the Finch app does help, but then I just like, I think I get too ambitious and I put too much on my Finch plate. These are all things that I need to get done. But I'm just, it's hard for me to get that.
Right.
So, and I don't even think I really checked in on the Finch app that much today, but I told myself, like, just think of the thing that you want to get done the most and do that. And so that's why I've been kind of.
That helps a lot.
Cleaning out my personal spaces, like my little workspace downstairs. And I'm, you know, trying to my spaces up here too. And
yeah,
but I've also been playing, I've been trying to meditate more, which I haven't been doing great at. I've been doing so-so at that, but I also decided, I got a VR headset up and running for Craig. Cause I was like, we should all play VR together.
Wow. So, that's great.
Yeah.
So we played bowling on Sunday, because we do family time every Sunday night, and I've been playing Tetris more recently, because I've decided that playing Tetris is the equivalent to meditating.
Yeah, it is, honestly.
Yeah. But then when I get too frustrated, because like I lost, there are these different like journeys, they're called journeys, and it's just like, it'll be like 5 little levels or whatever that you play, and then you have to like play all of them, and then they give you a score for the whole thing. And if I lose one of those levels, or if I find myself getting mad, that's when I stop, because you like anger is not a part of meditation,
right?
This is not helping you. And I either stop or I just try to play like a different level or something. But when it's not frustrating me, like it's really cool, because it just immerses you into like experience, and there's stuff all around you. And anyway,
that's awesome. Yeah. And what I really like on Tetris Effect is the marathon mode, and they have zone marathon too. So you have the zone capability. I suppose one thing is if we are like totally like want to be kind of in self-care opportunity, then you could play I think it's like chill marathon or something. I forget what it's called, but like you don't lose if you end up like topping out. And so then it just resets, but then it resets your score. So it's a little more forgiving. But
I can restart on the journey mode, but then it makes my overall score go down really low. Like,
yeah,
scores are like B's, and the one that I'm currently stuck at is at a D. So,
right.
But, you know, it's not. I got to go back to regular meditation, I think, is what I've just told myself right now. But anyway, Jessica, what's going on with you?
I think that's good that you found Tetris to be helpful, though, for that time period. That's great. Well, yeah. What's happening with you, Jessica?
Well, guys, so much.
Did you have another baby?
I did. their name is no. you know, this past couple weeks, I feel like they have went by so fast. Yeah. I think that's what's happening right now, is that time is going by so fast, and I already thought that it was, but then like now with Miles, like things are going by so much faster, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, slow down.
Wow. And
Miles is almost 7 months old, which is crazy. and we took him to the library for the very first time. He loved it. He didn't know he was there. And
that's me at most places.
Yeah, right. And then we took him to Barnes & Noble, and he got a book, and it was autographed by a world-renowned author, and it was custom message just to him.
I went out and bought that book today. I went to Barnes and Noble today and bought the book because I couldn't make it to the world-renowned book signing.
Yeah, the author's very kind. And the bonus is that the author also goes to our church.
Yeah.
That's all you get. Those are all the clues.
Those are all the clues. The rest of it you have to put together.
Yep. Yep. Indeed.
But yeah, so that's been fun. This past weekend we went to the Kaleidoscope Festival, the fall festival over at Palmdale Amphitheater, and Miles wore pants, like jeans, for the very first time.
Wow.
That was great. He loved it.
Did he not know he was there?
He's so cute.
Oh, wow. He's awesome, Jessica.
This is another thing. And I'm just going to be honest. When Miles was first born, it was like this blah. Period of time where I was like, who are you? And I can't believe I'm your mom. And I like tried to like have my mind connect with the physical and like the things that were changing in my environment. And it was a massive adjustment. And it took me a very long time to like realize there's no return policy with this human. So I'm at a point now though, where I'm like, my heart is, oh my gosh, it aches with how much I love him. And I just,
wow.
Push his cheeks, and it just, oh my gosh, I'll look at him in the crib on our little app, and I'm like, he's so cute, and I just can't get over it. And I'm
like, wow,
where I'm at this point, and I didn't think that I was, it's like, I don't even know when this ended up happening, but anyway, I love him so much, and oh my gosh, he's just the cutest little thing. So, and it is turning out that I just only talk about him, but
that's fine.
But also today, was the first time that I went back to work, and, I hadn't been to work since February.
Wow.
with that, one, it took 2 hours because of the rain. Thank you, LA traffic, for not knowing how to drive. And then I had this like annual meeting the exact same day, so which is why I had to go in. But we had all of these like external stakeholders there, and I had to like put a presentation thing up and get the conference room going with the Zoom and the slides. Everybody could see them and all blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, crazy day, and it's like, I'm so glad I'm only going to go to work like once a week. So, because it's just so much.
Wow.
Honestly, and I say these things I'm not complaining. I love my job and I am happy with everything. It's just, it was a lot. But lastly, last time we spoke, I mentioned how we were trying to find a babysitter. Well, I know that we had two other babysitters scheduled for interviews. And I think it was like the next day or no. So we talked on Tuesday. We had an interview set up for Friday, and we met with her, and she lives in Leona Valley, goes to AV College for early childhood development, CPR certified, all these things. And like, we talked with her. Miles, like, literally we handed Miles to her just to kind of see how he would respond. No joke, this kid like already obsessed with her. And I was like, okay, I think we found a babysitter. And so we did like a trial run last Friday with her for just like 4 hours. And then I, you know, went to my shed /office, and I worked in here for like the 4 hours. I realized I forgot snacks. So I was in here like wanting to go inside, but also wanting to give her the opportunity to not have any interruptions and not have Miles see me.
Yeah.
So
right.
That's when I realized I needed snacks in the shed. And and then we had her babysit Miles yesterday for 5 hours, and he did so well. Like, it's
that's great.
I'm just like, I can't believe that we found this babysitter, because it just kind of like worked. And literally, she's less than 5 minutes from our house.
Oh, wow.
And so it all just works. And I think that was like, we were so stressed about that. And I was like, well, if this doesn't work, we've always got Owen. So I was like, there's not a bad ending to any of this. So,
right.
But then she ended up working. So it all worked out. So
yeah.
Anyways, but those are my updates. It's kind of a lot, but.
Hey, congrats on finding a babysitter, Jessica. That's really nice.
It's wonderful. And yes, I remembered snacks.
Good.
Yeah, you got snacks. I was actually, while you were giving your update, I was thinking about how in the past you'd shared how you were setting up your shed. You're in your shed now. It's all set up.
It's all set up, guys. And there's a twin mattress pad on the loft. Currently have the heater going because it's freezing outside.
yeah.
But yeah, everything is all set up. Got some fun lights all hung, and
wow, it's
just like party central in here. Party,
yeah, you know, it's the Jessica lounge.
It is.
Wow.
Where anyone can take a nap.
Yeah. Jessica lounge, the place to take a nap.
Yeah,
bring a heated blanket.
Now I understand. What was it? What's that? What's that group called?
Hansen.
What?
Hansen. Now I understand why they have the band Nappy Roots. Those guys just want to take a nap.
Oh.
Go back to your roots and take a nap.
Nappy Roots.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, taking a nap's that's my lifestyle, 100%.
Not a nap guy. I can't.
Yeah, I respect my naps, that.
My naps are like 3 hours, guys. Literally, I took a nap on accident with Miles. It was like on a Saturday, and Amber was like, "Will you hold him so he can take a nap?" I was like, "Sure." And then like I fell asleep with him, and I woke up and it was like 4 o'clock, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" He's like, "I'm never doing that again. You guys slept for 3 hours, and I don't know what I'm." Anyways, it was.
Yeah, I was. I think it was maybe last week or the week before. I was walking out of the church with Amber. And we were talking about naps, and like basically you could probably share this experience, Jessica, like the amount of sleep that you have is kind of diminished. And I was saying, yeah, you know, you could use it as a strength. You just become a polyphasic sleeper. You know, you could just take naps. And I told her about how one time I was like done eating dinner real early, and it was like 10 o'clock and my mom went to sleep. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay up till midnight like usual. And at that point, she's like, well, you know, eventually you just learn not to sleep anymore. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep.
I find I'm grumpier, even grumpier after taking a nap than I was
really
before I'd started the nap. Yeah.
Oh, and
for some reason, the longer the nap, the grumpier I am when I wake up. Like, so I just don't take the naps most of the time.
I can only take up to 30-minute naps. I can't sleep more than that. I just start getting super uncomfortable after that.
I get a little jealous of Craig because, like, he takes a nap like every weekend, and like maybe you know, maybe Saturday and Sunday, he's just napping. Sometimes I'll come home from church and all the dogs are upstairs because he's taking a nap.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful.
That actually sounds like a really nice slumber.
Yeah. But I'm the bare naked ladies version of napping. Who needs sleep? Well, you're never going to get it. Who needs sleep? Tell me what that.
Oh, I was like, shake it, China, the Chinese chicken. Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
X-Files, the lights on, what on is on. Anyway. I was trying to make the connection there, and I was like, does she... Is she
it's on the same album. It's
on drumsticks the same bed? Is she with Harrison Ford getting frantic?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just Don LeMason, you know, in the house. That's all. Anyway. What's the next thing we do?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, this reminds me of an escape room, which is something that the youth group's doing on October 19th.
Do you sleep and then escape?
You could. I mean, you only have it from 4 to 6 p.m. in the social hall, but...
Okay. Very good.
But you're welcome to try to escape. I hope the escape room is... safe. I'm sure it will be. Maybe yes. Not.
Yes, there could be a sign that says slumber friendly.
Yeah.
But you do need to escape.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Other than that, I can confirm that the in-betweeners are going to have a tailgate party at Glenn and Allison Graham's house from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. So that's cool.
Yeah.
What they're tailgating, I'm not sure. It doesn't sound safe. Never good to tailgate anyone. Nor is it beneficial to have a party about it. So my guess is that they're all going to be in their vehicles parked on the side of the road tailgating one another.
Honking at each other.
Honking at each other from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Listen, if you want to do that, hang out with Glenn and Allison Graham at their house.
Do it at your own risk.
Do it at your own risk.
I think that's better. That's better than road work on the 14 freeway, I gotta say.
For sure. Yeah.
That's where exhausting. My gathering is gonna be on the freeway during road work time.
Yeah.
That's 7 p.m. on any given night.
Yep, exactly. After that, the following weekend on October 26th, which also happens to be Amber's birthday,
ooh, yay.
Is Trunk or Treat. And that's from 3 to 5 p.m. And guys, I'm really hoping it's not hot like last year. Do you remember last year?
How hot was it?
I thought it was pretty warm. And then the year before that, it was like 95 mile an hour winds that were taking over the world. But either way, I hope that temperatures are a little bit cool this year. That would be wonderful. We are going to participate in the Trunk or Treat. I'm very excited about it. And Amber's the one that signed us up, so I'm not ruining her birthday. This is something she was excited to do as well.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Something else to keep in mind is that on November 1st, Grief Shares meeting from 10:30 to 12:30 in the Fireside Room. And then on November 8th, it's a blood drive in the social hall from 8 to 2. This could be in correlation with the tailgate party if things go wrong. So the blood drive. So
right. Indeed.
Keep your calendars free on all those dates. Save the dates. Tell A or G or S. Those are initials for Alexa or Siri or Google. You don't want to say those too loud because your devices might go nuts.
Yeah, we whispered it, or Jessica whispered it. So if you are blasting the podcast, then it's not going to alert your devices.
Yeah.
We know that you're blasting the podcast at full volume right now.
Yeah.
Listening to this.
That still doesn't stop, like, when they used to have the commercials on TV. And a D,
oh my gosh,
a D one, and then mine would just be like, "You don't have anything on your calendar today." And I'm like, "Not even what I sound like." That's somebody else.
What? Yeah.
What's crazy is when you're like not even talking to them, and all of a sudden they're like, "I'm not sure how to help you with that," and I'm like, "Girl, I was not asking you."
I'm going to be the first to die in the robot wars because I'm so mean to my Google and my. More Google than Siri, but like they never understand me, and I'm like, that's not what I meant, or I'm not to you. Yeah, so it's been nice knowing you.
Wow,
I could be nicer, but they could too. Yeah.
Well, I think it's time to head into the Methodist moment.
Methodist moment.
No, that's not the thing. Okay.
So,
hey, Tim.
So, I think that we could all kind of jump into this one. I was thinking about the idea of affirmations because at one point Beth and I were talking about it, and I think previously in other episodes we were talking about it, but I figured it'd be great for a Methodist moment. Particularly because there's lots of affirmations in the Bible. Like the one that like occurs to me before I started referencing like random websites that tell me a whole list of them is like the things that we might always think of. And that's like we are children of God. We've said that so much on the podcast. And all the things that like Jesus might say. Like how we're the light of the world, and if we come to Jesus, he will give us rest. Like, and you can form it in the way of an affirmation. Like, it doesn't even have to be like a standard like affirmation like set up in the very beginning. You can kind of like create an affirmation out of something that you read in the Bible. So, like, if Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest," it's like, if I come to Jesus, I will feel rested. Like, yeah. Just create a positive statement out of it. And so I think that's a really powerful thing. And so I'm curious if the two of you have any like affirmations that you could like think of right off the bat that like you feel like the Bible inspires you, or just being a Christian inspires you. Can you think of anything?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes, that's awesome.
It gives me strength, whichever one.
Yeah. And I think of Romans where Paul talks about that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we can say, I am transformed by Jesus and he renews my mind, you know?
I like that one too. Oh, I thought of another one, but it's not a biblical related one.
Go for it.
So just real quick, I started listening to a new podcast, even though I said I'm not currently taking any new podcasts, but Steve Burns from Blue's Clues put out a new podcast and it's amazing. I listened to the first episode with
Jamie. Wow.
And one of the things that Jamie Lee Curtis said that Jason Mraz also said on a podcast several years ago was, it's not any of my business what other people think of me. And so for that to like come up again in a totally separate like context, I guess, was like, yep, this is still my life's model that I'm trying to work with or whatever.
So, yeah.
Not any of my business what other people think of me.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really powerful, Beth. And we could also think that like something like I find value in what I decide to do. It's okay if other people dislike those things. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is really valuable, and I don't have to feel distracted by the opinions of others. That kind of thing. Yeah. So that's awesome. And honestly, like a lot of the affirmations that we might say to ourselves that are kind of general, I think that they really apply to what God thinks of us. Mm-hmm. So I think that affirmations are just like a really like helpful thing for us as Christians, because a lot of the qualities that we think that we should have, God thinks we should have. So
affirmations are like looking into God's mirror.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, but I figure since I'm on the website that talks about biblical affirmations, there's a few others like, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I will trust in him. And yeah, the one about what you were saying, Beth, I think the first one you brought up, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was the first one for the biblical affirmations of strength and courage.
Yes.
So yeah.
One thing.
Go ahead, Jessica.
I was going to say one thing for me that like, I don't know, like when I was younger, you know, like I think a lot of people who grew up in potentially like Methodist or Lutheran background, or I don't know, maybe, I guess I'm assuming that, but maybe some people who grew up and they heard the song Jesus Loves Me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the older I get, it's really silly, but it's like the older I get, the more I find myself in moments of like sadness, or really just kind of when I'm off kiltered or something, I'll find myself talking out loud the words of that song and how powerful that is, not just as a kid, but when you think about it, because it's really just one of those things where like you just think of it as like a nursery rhyme or like a kid's song. Yeah. But when you say the words out loud, like if I were to tell you guys, like, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little mm-hmm. ones to I don't even remember that, but little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. I think of those kinds of things and,
wow.
and like it's a reminder of like Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Like in how in moments for me where I do feel weak or something, I know that Jesus is much bigger and he's so much stronger. And then reminding myself, yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
You know, and so it's kind of like, I don't know, I've always, anyway, the older I get, the more I find myself like kind of singing that a little bit to myself when I'm overwhelmed or just in yeah. little moments.
Yeah. And,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I think it's just always good to maybe remind yourself those yeah. kinds of things. So,
yeah. Maybe. Yeah. That's really awesome, Jessica. I'm really glad you shared that.
I also like the joy, 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 joy down in my heart song.
Oh my gosh. That song is the best. I grew up listening to the Mariantha, whatever, sing-along songs.
Mariah Carey sing-along?
Yeah, Mariah Carey's. Always where it was like, Mary was looking at baby Jesus and was like, because you'll always be my baby. And I was like, oh my gosh. I know this song. When I was little, my grandma would play that on the piano and we would sing it together and I'd be like, got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And my grandma would go, what? Like, and she would keep going higher and higher and higher and it would make me laugh so loud.
Anyways, that's awesome.
That's such a good song. Anyways,
that's so cool. Yeah, I need to think of something that I could maybe repeat to myself that really like resonates with me like that, what you're mentioning, Jessica, because I think what kind of in line with that, I've been reaching out to God in prayer whenever I'm in times of trouble or discomfort. And I've been actually really good about that, to the point that I can like basically God rescues me from emotional instability or just like unhelpful thought patterns. And so I feel blessed and like super grateful about that. But I think what if I lose my capability to pray for some reason in real times of trouble, then maybe like an affirmation like what you just described would be helpful for me. So maybe I could kind of go on like a spiritual journey and find something like that. I think the Serenity Prayer comes pretty close for me. Maybe I can make that my affirmation kind of thing. First I need to get the words right, because I keep trying to like remember the Serenity Prayer, or at least the most memorable statement of it, but I always get it wrong somehow. I think I might remember it offhand right now. I think it's like, God give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Is that what the Serenity Prayer is?
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. You know what else is awesome?
Wait, what?
The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I never watched The Princess Bride, actually.
It's not my favorite movie, but it is some people.
It's an oldie but a goodie. And I think it's for some people. I don't think it's for everyone. It's got a very unique sense of humor. Kind of like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Some people can laugh at that. Others are like, this is ridiculous. You know?
Yeah. You wish, you know.
That reminds me of what Beth's dad said about our Palm Sunday reading. He said that it sounded like it was kind of like Monty Python or something.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, since we're doing this podcast every other week, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday prior, Pastor Jim started the Wait, What? Series again.
That's my favorite.
And it's really awesome. And basically this past Sunday, we did Wait, What? And I completely forgot how you say this. Is it Ehud? I forgot.
Ehud?
Yeah.
It is? Okay.
I think so, because I watched it today earlier.
And it's been a couple days, but anyway. It was the focus of Judges chapter 3, verses 12 through 30. And I can confirm that nobody in this podcast is left-handed. I'll start.
I had an interesting dialogue with Dawn about that. So basically, I am right-handed, but because of like growing up with like legacy computer games, it turns out I have like a left-handed style when it comes to playing certain games. So I think I'm a little bit ambidextrous, but I think I'm definitely right-hand dominant.
Is Don right or left-handed?
He's right-handed. He told me, I think his family, two of his family members is left-handed, though.
Okay.
I think that's what he told me.
You know, it's
so right-handed.
That was brought up about like left-handed people and, you know, how in the sermon he was talking about how it was like very, like people were kind of seen differently if they were left-handed. I was like, who do we know that's left-handed? And I looked it up and it's like Leonardo da Vinci, Vincent Van Gogh, Michelangelo, Charlie Chaplin, Julia Roberts, Lady Gaga, Paul McCartney, Barack Obama, Prince William, Albert Einstein, Babe Ruth, Oprah Winfrey, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg. And I'm like, okay, that's just like a few that I'm naming here. Jimi Hendrix. So Okay, so if you're left-handed, then like you're automatically destined to do something really cool. It's kind of
that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Jeez, I mean,
the right-handed celebrities though too, Jessica.
Let's look at famous right-handed people.
Hopefully there are famous Taylor Swift,
Beyonce. Michael J. Fox, Eric Clapton, Springsteen.
So wait, what you're saying
now
to
it
me
says it now matter. It says Oprah and Mark Zuckerberg again. Are wait, they ambidextrous? Oh my gosh!
I just used wait what? This is great.
Today too, and it made me laugh a little bit to myself. I wouldn't think that was weird.
How do they show up in both lists? I don't understand.
She is left-handed. She's not ambidextrous. So anyways, Justin, everyone, Oprah is left-handed. Oh, so basically, if she got a car, it would be on the other side of the European-style vehicle.
Interesting.
This works. You want to know something interesting?
No, Beth, that's true. Anybody who's left-handed, they have to get their vehicle customized to be on the opposite side as right-handed people.
I don't think that's all the tailgating incidents.
So basically the tailgating party is for left-handed people.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I have two that I think are interesting facts about people that I know who are left-handed, or at least some of them who are supposed to be. So Craig was born left-handed,
and wow,
he was born in a normal time. Like, he's not that much, he's 2 years older than me, so that's not like the 60s or whatever,
right but, yeah,
but his mom made him use his right hand and wouldn't let him use his left hand. It wasn't the school, it was his mom. And
so
he's right-handed now. He does everything with his right hand now. And I'm just like,
what?
So Craig weird. Could have been president.
I know, but no, right-handed. So it wasn't meant to be.
Maybe.
So close.
So that
you
so that
been
means
first lady Beth. You're so close. Like,
you know what? I tell this to Craig more than I should, because it's not like he's ever going to be president, but I'm always like, Craig, I don't want you to be president because I don't want to be first lady. I would be a terrible first lady.
But let's just take a moment to think about how the White House would be decorated for the holidays. Just let's just take a moment, or even just in general,
it would be amazing because I wouldn't have to do it myself. I could pull out all the stops.
I'm pretty sure the frames would be bedazzled.
Yes.
You know, anyway, I think it'd be the coolest White House.
Yeah.
It would be a rainbow house at the end of the day.
What's my stance going to be? Oh, allyship. That's what it'll be. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be like an advocate for crafting.
Yeah. Let's be craft allies. No.
You would hold the very first play in the old rose garden before concrete was poured onto it.
And then she laughed until she cried.
You know, I was kind of wondering, like, so basically Craig's mom, she could have just named him Benjamin because clearly she wanted him to be a man of the right hand.
But right? The Benjaminites were the left-handed ones, weren't they?
What? Oh, yeah. That was the thing. It's so, like, they were part of the family of Benjamin, but they were left-handed. Yeah.
So there's the other thing that, okay, well, first of all, my dad is left-handed and he was born in the 60s. Yeah. And he's not the president. So
he's the president of life.
He might be like the president of Coin Club or something. Sorry.
I believe that.
Well, I think your dad has more than likely done something pretty amazing.
Yeah, he actually e-bikes a lot and he's put on 555 miles. That's probably not it. But
you're going to say he e-bikes and he's put on 555 pounds.
I mean, I was going to lie. Like, that's what I was thinking too.
One, I don't think that your dad weighs 555.
He doesn't. Well, 550 plus whatever he weighed before.
So he must have been the fat cat, right?
Yeah, 550
pounds.
Yeah. So my dad's left-handed, and I have a brother named Benjamin, but he's right-handed, and my younger brother Sean is left-handed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's wild.
Yeah. Is his last name moved? Is it changed to Penn? Is his name Sean Penn?
What?
Is that who your brother is, Ben?
Brother's Sean Penn. Yep.
Wait.
See? People that are left-handed, they do amazing things. Look at this.
Wait, who is Sean Penn?
What? Sean Penn is an incredible actor. He's a really good actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's okay, Tim.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You'll meet Sean at some point, Tim. Yeah. It's okay.
It'll be okay.
My dinner friends today, they're like wondering why I don't know who Helen Keller is. I didn't know who Helen Keller is until they told me today.
Oh, Tim, there's so many books that I would like to recommend to you on Helen Keller. Just
really?
She,
really?
Well, just, I feel like she is like, what's the word? Kind of like this, I don't know the word. I can't think of words, but I feel like her story is one that everyone should know. And it's like a story that I feel like needs to continue being told throughout each generation as like a reminder of. Yeah.
Appearance.
Yeah.
I have inaccurate theories about Helen Keller that I'm sure are not true. I like to think that the reason like she became educated and got college degrees was because people just felt bad for her and they were like, you know what, here you go, it doesn't matter. Keller theory. That I'm sure is inaccurate.
There's no way to know, Beth.
No way to know.
There's no way to know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I do feel like, you know, who she was as a person and kind of like what she signified is definitely something that deserves a lot of attention, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Larson. Absolutely. That's Larson. It's incredible.
Yeah. Let's tell world-renowned children's book author Kirsten Larson to write a book about Helen Keller so Tim can read it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome. I would definitely read it. And then learn all the amazing things about people that don't originally have something, but then through like faith and courage and passion and everything, they can exceed expectations beyond all human imagination. So that would be, that's super cool.
You know what I think Kirsten Larson's real claim to fame is, though?
What? She's left-handed.
Actually,
really?
No, I don't know.
Is she left-handed?
I have no idea. I don't know. No,
I think
claim to fame is that she's married to super fan Nils Larson.
Yeah.
Is he left-handed? Exactly.
I think so. I don't actually know that. Wait. I made that up.
See, we got to know these things. I feel like when you go to the church, you got to sign in and say if you're left-handed or right-handed. But then I think this turns into something that could become very bad in terms of, I think they've done social experiments on things like this in the past. And it became kind of like, I can't think of words.
People die.
Word problems.
Yes, word problems. I think it just becomes like a, you know, something where it was like, we're the right-handed people, and then it becomes, we're the left-handed, and then it becomes, this is not a good direction to go in, guys.
That reminds me of the Dr. Seuss story. What was it?
The meeples.
Pastor Jim was talking about.
Was it the meeples or?
Was it the meeples?
Sneetches, where there were star-bellied sneetches and other
things. Yeah. That's what it is. Exactly.
I think meeples are gaming characters for a board game that we played with Pastor Jim. So that's. Anyway.
That is good to remember. So
yes.
So everybody is worthy of love and acceptance, whether you're right-handed or left-handed. You might not want to wear a shirt that says that you're left-handed or right-handed, even though you're tempted.
Left-handed. No, I'm right-handed. Don't touch me. Just kidding.
So everyone can be loved. And maybe we're all capable of using both hands. We all can be ambidextrous. Look at Craig. He learned to be right-handed. So we can be left-handed and right-handed. Exactly. Maybe we could be left-handed 2 days out of the week and right-handed the rest of the week, or vice versa. Who knows?
I think people don't realize how much they're ambidextrous, and they don't even realize it, because you use your right and left hand to drive.
Yeah.
True. Oh, and I was actually just talking about my brother to somebody who is really good. He started off in middle school and high school playing drums and percussion, and he was and probably still is really good. But then, like, when he was in college, he taught himself how to play guitar by watching an Alice in Chains DVD and just like
what
the guitar was doing, and then trying to do it. And he's left-handed, but he plays right-handed guitar.
Oh, interesting. Wow. That's really interesting.
That would be very difficult.
Well, maybe there's like, oh, go ahead.
If that's just the way that, if you've never like given your body an option to do it right, left, hand, whatever, maybe it's difficult at first, but then you get used to it, because you still have to do all of the like chords with your left hand.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Handed. I don't know.
Maybe like you could learn anything with like a different set of like working with your hands in a certain way, and your brain will just like register it as your dominant hand thing. But in reality, it's like, it's the other way or something.
I mean, that is literally what happened to Craig. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, seriously. Yeah. Maybe somehow he is left-handed still, even though he's using his right hand for everything.
It's
Deep down, he's still left-handed.
Rewired. Yeah, maybe for some stuff, but like he writes with his right hand and all that.
I think Craig needs to do EMDR for handwriting and go to the root of the problem. And he needs to be able to relearn how to use his left hand.
Wait, I like the pretext that you said ASMR, and he's just making weird sounds with his
ASMR.
The pen is blue. My hands are in front of me. Anyway.
I don't think this was a very good in-depth discussion about this.
We
got so much out of the sermon that we've all become left-handed. So
okay.
what are some highlights that you guys got from this past Sunday sermon, other than this whole left-handed business?
Go ahead.
There were some highlights for sure. The most clear highlight that everybody probably remembers is what Pastor Jim had said that should be on a banner, you know, on your favorite pillow or something.
Yeah.
The fat closed over the sword, or the fat closed over it in the Bible here. And that's pretty wild. And then, the king's bowels discharged.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, Actually, I was very curious about judges in general after Pastor Jim's sermon. So I went in to chapter 3 and listened to it on my way home from work. And yes, it did in fact say that the his fat closed over it.
Yeah.
And it mentioned that it closed over the hilt of the sword. So that means the entire sword went into him.
Yeah.
And it closed over the sword. That is just wild. So the sword completely disappeared into his fat. And so that was quite the spectacle in my imagination. I don't have the visualization powers that other people do because of the hypophantasia, but certainly very emotionally evoking kind of words there. And then, yeah, the wait, what thing was like 10,000 people dying. And then there was like 80 years of peace. But it's like, okay, man, couldn't there have just been like 80 years of peace without 10,000 people dying? I mean, yeah, that would have been a good thing. But yeah, I mean, Judges in general is just very like powerful in the idea of the fact that it's a warning all throughout the book. Like the people did right in their own eyes. And so it's just it's like a cautionary tale, right? Like you have different like stories that they could be regarded as cautionary tales. That's exactly what Judges is. And so if you go into Judges with that mindset, then it's clear. It's like, okay, all this crazy stuff that's in here, this is caution for me that if I do what is right in my own eyes without God's guidance, maybe I won't do anything like super crazy like that's in the book of Judges, but I might find myself in a misled direction. And so that's really like good to think about. And so I feel encouraged to go into Judges and like kind of learn from that, and maybe the emotions that it will bring forth for me, like probably many wait what's out of it. It'll kind of be a strong reminder that I wanna follow in God's footsteps and take the narrow path for my life. So that was one thing. I wanted to mention the other sermon really quick, the one on Sodom and Gomorrah. The reason why I want to bring that up is that Pastor Jim was saying that there's so much evidence associated with Sodom not being associated with condemning homosexuality. I thought that was really like a special thing that Pastor Jim had brought up, like the fact that like it was not men of the city, but it was actually referring to like people at large in the city, but it was just happened to be translated that way in the NRSV. But if you look at the original Hebrew, it was referring to people. And so basically the people were just depraved and they were just like going and abusing sex and really just like had like this idea of like power in abuse and like violence and just like worthy of like not having any sort of like righteousness worthy of recognizing them not to be worthy of righteousness. And like, I like how, he had mentioned Abraham and God talking about justice and how we can communicate with God about what is just. And so that was really neat. So a lot of takeaways for me for sure. And it's really good to know about Sodom and Gomorrah, though, that it's really just referring to like a nation of people that were really like not bringing forth righteous to anybody. And so that's why that was occurring the way that it did. Those are my takeaways for the last 2 weeks the last 2 weeks of sermons in the Wait What series. The One last thing. I think the wait what was the for Sodom and Gomorrah was the fact that I think it was Lot's daughters. He offered his daughters to the people of the city so that the angels who were disguised as men in Lot's house wouldn't have to go. And yeah, that's totally a wait what? Like, it's just like offering your daughters to the people of the city so that you wouldn't have to bring forth the people that the guests that are at your house. That's just wild. So I'm glad that Pastor Jim kind of brought that into context.
Yeah, I definitely liked that because I think a lot of people just kind of assume that it was about like queer people and.
Right.
It's not. It actually is more so something that involves, you know, I guess if you look at instances in today's culture, it's not within the queer community. It's really a lot of people that are, you know, who you see every day. You know what I mean? They're not a specific group of people. It's literally just anybody. And, anyway, I do feel like the past couple Sundays, the sermons have been quite, not graphic, but pretty, like, intense.
You know,
in terms of, like, the nature of things that happen. But it's also, you know, a reminder that what happened back then, that stuff is still happening today in different ways.
That's true.
And so it's one of those things where, I don't know, I don't want to be stabbed in the gut and have my innards spilling out at all.
You mean you don't want the sword, like somehow being like sucked in and it's just, you know, just gone, no bleeding or anything.
Yeah. And then my fat will engulf over and I'll take my left hand and say, nope, not today.
Right. And you can like go you can go inside the porch or the porch room and it's actually an outhouse.
But I think the reminder is, and Pastor Jim said it really well, he read from Rob Bell's book, What is the Bible, where Bell says, the last thing the writer is doing is approving of our encouraging the violence. The writer wants us to know, to see how pointless it is, and that let us stay faithful to our commitment to God and know that in times of trouble, the Lord hears our cry. So I think that's like the biggest thing. And, you know, I did find it interesting about how he talked about, you know, how all throughout the book of Judges, the cycle repeats over and over, and that it's like the people sin. God allows them to be oppressed. The people cry out to God for deliverance. God hears their cry and raises up a hero. The people are saved for a while. And then they fall back into sin. And then God allows them to be oppressed. People cry out to God for deliverance. You know, it's like this continuous thing, but it's true. Like, I think that's a common thing. Like, no matter what, history repeats itself. It doesn't matter. Like, I think the format changes, the environment changes, the people, and the sin of people in past generations, that does carry on, that does continue through. And that's something where it will continue repeating. We can't stop it. We could potentially try to stop, you know, generational things in terms of our own families, but in terms of the sins of people, we're going to constantly, and we will always have, you know, the things that have happened in the Bible, similar things will always be happening. It's more so, how can we take what we've learned from history to become better humans today? And how can we, you know, be advocates for others and be more mindful of conversations, be more open to hearing people when they're struggling and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway,
it's absolutely Yeah. And I'm glad that you kind of brought that to light, Jessica. Kind of made me think about how. So in Pastor Jim's first sermon of this series, he was talking about how the Sodom and Gomorrah story was not referring to homosexual behavior, but was instead referring to people that were depraved and like just wanted to be abusive. And basically Lot was prioritizing hospitality, and like basically our being prioritizing hospitality is treating everyone with respect and love, and that they're like everything about them is like basically worthy of God, children of God. And like it kind of falls into Pastor Jim's second week regarding judges and how God is just continually liberating the oppressed. Like it's just like you have something that occurs with the Israelites. They become oppressed and then God liberates them with a judge, or basically a judge being somebody who's going to rescue, or something to that effect. And so like that's really from what I can see, that's a theme in the Bible, liberating the oppressed, and that God like sees that all of us are his children. And so like no matter who we are, whether we're down and out, whether we have nothing to our name, like we just have a few coins, like the woman in Jesus' parable, like everything, Jesus helps anybody. And so like, yeah, so I think that's a really powerful message. But it's good to have it all kind of clarified, though, like basically it's the people that are that really have no righteousness in them that God condemns, honestly. So that's kind of like the message of Sodom and Gomorrah, and not to condemn a select group of people, because if we're condemning a select group of people, that's oppression, and God is against oppression. Just look at the book of Judges. So yeah.
It also took me back to Pastor Matt's sermon from a few weeks ago, where, you know, his mom would say, oh, they'll get what's coming to them and blah, blah, blah. And it does.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And yeah, so that's kind of what that reminded me of, too, because, you know, we do get what's coming to us, but later we might not see it in this lifetime, but it does come.
Yeah,
that's right. So we want to do our part and be the church and love our neighbor, and God will make things right ultimately, but we,
unless you're left-handed, then God will make you left.
I totally just set that up for the left hand. Or unless you're Benjamin, then you might be right-handed, but you could also have a family of left-handed people. So there's
absolutely. Absolutely.
Two left-handed people in my family, three if Craig counts, but I'm not related to him.
Right. Like, yeah. Last point on the left-handed thing. I was doing tech, for the church. I'm doing video tech every so often now, and I feel really grateful about that. And I happened to do it for this past Sunday, and it's just funny how Pastor Jim did a sermon on left-handed, because that was the one time that I was doing video tech by myself, and I felt like I needed to use my left hand. It's like, you know, God is just speaking to me right now. I need to learn to be left-handed so that I could use the mouse with the left hand for the other computer that just happens to have a mouse on the left side. So yeah, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and he reminds us that maybe we need to be left-handed on a given day. You never know.
Yeah.
Or right-handed if you're Craig.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we got a lot out of this sermon. I know we kind of went left, but I do think that we learned a lot of valuable things, and I hope the listeners were able to gain something from this. But that takes us into prayer requests. So do you guys have any prayer requests for this next week or so?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Beth.
Tim? Right. Just kidding.
I think that I could use a prayer for me to, I don't know, just kind of be more confident regarding the things that I'm intending to do. So for instance, like I might feel like I can do better, like work at my job. I have an impression potentially that I could do better. So I'd like, my prayer is for me to just kind of seize that, like seize that impression and make it into something that is really going to be a blessing for me. Like really, if I have some like idea that I can do something, then actually do it, like feel like I can. And maybe I need to pray to God in those moments, or like maybe have like harness some deep focus. The Finch app, it encourages me to do deep focus, because there's like a deep focus thing, and then it rewards you, or it rewards your Finch with energy. So that's been really nice. But like sometimes I might find myself out of touch with what I'm trying to do. And so a prayer for me to just kind of have that together. And then also for me to just continue on my reading habit. I'm actually back on the reading thing. So I'm like on chapter 19 of Project Hail Mary through some friendly competition at work. I've actually managed to get through a lot of the book, mainly through listening when I'm driving to work and back. But still, like, it's been really nice. And then I'm reading this other book called Fall or Dodge in Hell. Basically, there's two titles to the same book, and it's by Neal Stephenson. And it's a really good book, actually. It's very interesting. Like, it talks about like consciousness and stuff, like basically a person's like mind being transported into a computer, like their consciousness. And like, it's a real, I love the author's writing style. Like, so yeah, just a prayer for me to continue on my reading habit and kind of just have that focus that I need in my life to do what I feel like I need to do.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beth is.
Oh, I thought of
things changed in the past.
Yeah. You thought of something.
I'm in turmoil, actually, in these past 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I understand.
No, continued prayers for Owen's health stuff. And also.
Absolutely.
Continued prayers that he can get a job, because he's been applying. And there's places that say that they're hiring all over the place, and he's applying, but he's not hearing back from anybody. So, you know, just, I think that's it for me.
For sure. Well, that's really nice of you, Beth, you know, praying for Owen and everything. That's really thoughtful of you.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, you know, because sometimes I just focus on myself, and maybe, well, I ought to have more of like prayers for other people too. Kids, well, I don't have.
Pray for your dog, Tim.
Yeah, I can pray for my dog. That's good.
Oh, I'm gonna ask about the other thing, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jessica, what do you have for prayers?
Well, I'm going to, I'd like to pray for Amber, because her, you know, she's in her graduate program, and this class that she's currently in it's a new class. She finished her first one. Now she's on her second class, and it's like California school law and ethics and all these things. She likes the ethical portion, but like knowing the terminology of like basic law, like what's a tort, you know, like these kinds of things. It's kind of like a lot. And I know that it can be like stressful. Just on Mondays, she's having to be in these Zoom sessions from like 4:30 to 10 p.m. right after being, you know, done with a full day of work. So just prayers for her to find ways to incorporate God in the stressful moments, and to find time for her to fill her cup. Yes. So I would say that's like the big one. And then,
yeah, absolutely.
I think for me, because I'm a selfish person, I'm going to pray for myself. I would like prayers just so that I can always remember to try to find time each day to just kind of like find like to get rest. And it's not like, not like a nap, but more like where I can like rest my mind, or, you know, rest in some kind of capacity.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I would like Yeah, absolutely. I think that so like rest with a nap or without a nap, I think
it could be either
great.
However your body, listen to your body and what does your body need, you know, and what kind of rest can you provide to your body?
Yeah.
What it tells you.
Yeah. I think that's really, really a good thing. I think there might've been, like a mental health, day, or I don't know if it was like World Mental Health Day or something like that. I think it was like, maybe a week or so ago. I just thought I would mention that because I think that like rest is so important. And like, I could probably use more rest, and maybe you could, Beth.
I'm all set.
You're all set. So you don't need more rest. That's good. But I guess trying to, be somebody that favors hospitality and all that stuff. I think I would like to give a prayer out to anybody that needs one, like for like rest and recovery from like illnesses. Cause I just like recently found out that Dawn had COVID and stuff like that. So I think a prayer for anybody like going through a sickness right now, or like trying to recover from some ailment, and it may be like a mental health thing as well. So a prayer for anybody that needs one like that.
Yeah. Tim, I'm glad you said that. It's not that I forgot, but I do want to pray for my dad, because he texted me today and said he went in for his scheduled like routine check-in where they do blood and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just for some context. He had prostate cancer, and it was like good. He did radiation for like a certain amount of weeks and everything was good. His levels went down. Well, his levels are back up. And so the cancer's back in some capacity. He doesn't know, like, it's not like crazy high levels. So they're not like too worried. They gave him a shot, then they're going to see how things are in 6 months. So I'm like, okay, so wait. See you in 6 months. Okay, so I guess you're fine. So anyway, just prayers, you know, for that, because
definitely
it can be scary. So that just goes with your like illness, and I thought of that. I don't know why, but anyway, probably should have thought of that first, but he seems to think he's fine and everything's good. So I try to put my mind at ease, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, thanks for sharing, Jessica.
Prayers for your dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's what I want everybody to do when you're done listening to this podcast.
What?
Go into your bed, shut the lights, get underneath the covers, and stay mad, you Methodists.
Stay mad, you Methodists.
No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.